Mickey Norris has been an activist for drug policy reform since 1989, when she formed the American Hemp Council, along with her husband Chris Conrad. In 1993, she and Chris moved to Amsterdam to design exhibits for and curate the Hash Marijuana Hemp Museum. As Community Action Coordinator for Californians for Medical Rights, she helped organize petitioners to qualify the Medical Marijuana Initiative Proposition 215 for the 1996 ballot. Mickey has co-authored the books Shattered Lives, Portraits from America's Drug War, and Human Rights and the U.S. Drug War, and sponsors the website www.hr95.org. Mickey was instrumental in the recent passage of municipal ordinances in Santa Cruz, Santa Monica, and Santa Barbara. And it's my pleasure to welcome her to the Audio Stash today. Mickey Norris, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you.
Mickey, you've been out on the front lines of what was a lot of success last week. First, tell us about the importance of these municipal initiatives.
Well, on Tuesday, we were very excited to see that the voters affirmed what we are working on for the last year and a half, which makes their initiatives that make marijuana offenses law enforcement's lowest priority. They have a little bit different twist for each town. We did this in Santa Monica, Santa Barbara, and Santa Cruz, and they won overwhelmingly, so, you know, we're just so excited.
Now, what is it about these deprioritization ordinances that can really have immediate positive impact on the communities that pass them?
These are measures that protect the rest of us. I mean, medical marijuana is a provision for a certain class of people. This is for a broader class of people, for adults, all adults. That will hopefully stop the arrest, prosecution, and incarceration in Santa Monica and Santa Barbara for personal adult use, but in Santa Cruz for all marijuana offenses. The significance is that we're hoping to get our message across that this has been the marijuana war as it's being operated and put forth is a waste of our resources, of law enforcement resources, when they have many other things on their plates, lots of violent and serious crime out there that they should be dealing with, that marijuana offenders are not the problem and they shouldn't be concentrating any of the resources or tax dollars on it. I think that message really resonated with the voters on Tuesday.
And when we talk about deprioritization, this is a directive to law enforcement. Some of these included an oversight committee. Where does that idea come from?
That came from, a lot of these, this whole effort generated from not only Seattle's I-75 that passed in 2003, but Oakland's Measure Z, which passed in 2004. They both include some oversight because you can't just pass these things and let them be. You have to make sure that they are implemented so that we actually can track whether or not we have stopped the arrest and prosecution and incarceration of these people. So it came from the idea that the measure needs some oversight to make sure that the cities are in compliance and that the police are following the policy.
Mickey, much of the law enforcement community's opposition in California was centered on statements that they don't really arrest recreational marijuana smokers anyway. Is that true? Do cops in California really turn the other way when they see someone smoking a joint?
If you look at the arrest statistics, people are still getting arrested. There are a few hundred in Santa Cruz and Santa Monica. I believe Santa Barbara also had a couple hundred arrests. So it means that every time that they're arresting somebody for a marijuana offense, this officer is not available for the other offenses like domestic violence or robberies or, you know, more serious crimes than that even. So we found that while they may be low priorities, they're not the lowest. And in our thinking, any amount of money being spent on prosecuting these nonviolent marijuana offenders is a waste of resources. And these cities are hurting for money in their budgets at this time. So we're helping them to codify this into a policy. I know many of the police departments have said, yeah, well, it's already a low priority, we're not doing it, but when you look at the statistics, and that's what we're hoping to also find out with the oversight of the implementation, is how many people are being arrested how many people have been arrested, and what, how old are these people, what is their race. We hope to find out if there's any racial profiling going on in these communities, if there's certain targeted groups. We should find that kind of information out. I think it's going to be real useful overall for our efforts, and also just to track the kinds of arrests that are still happening.
Mickey, it strikes me that these ordinances create an important liaison between the community and law enforcement. It's a level of interaction the rest of us do not enjoy as far as oversight with our local police.
Well, we've included them in the implementation side of things because we think that it's important to get their input so that they're on the same page with us. Unfortunately, during the campaign, and especially in Santa Monica, the police did come out opposing it. They didn't put as much of their money behind it as we were expecting, fortunately, in Santa Monica, which ended up coming up with our highest vote of all the initiatives. We were really surprised by that because they did express their concerns. There was some hostility in the local newspaper in Santa Monica, and the elected officials were a little bit nervous about coming out and in support. So we did this, you know, really passed it with the support of the community and the voters from the bottom up rather than the top down. But we do welcome the police to come to the table and express their concerns, and we want to work with them to come up with good guidelines that'll work for the city, to help them do their job, because we're in favor of police doing their job and going after violent and serious criminals. We just don't want them wasting their time going after nonviolent marijuana offenders.
Also, Mickey, you've been a leading activist for 15 years in California, and during this election, a lot has been made on the broader gains of women getting elected this midterm election season. But in speaking with Laura, Kate, and Nikki there in California, and Angela Goodhope in Missoula, is this an important new trend for women in politics and for women to be the face of the initiatives, to be leaders in grassroots activism?
I hope so. These are the people who stepped up to the plate in our campaigns. I'm real excited that it is up and down the board. We had all of our campaign coordinators were women, and mostly young women in their 20s. And our political consultants, Susan Stevenson from the Next Generation Political Consulting Group, who also did Measure Z in Oakland, oversaw the whole California effort. I consulted with Susan and assisted her in the efforts. And Barbara Grover, a political consultant from Santa Monica area, also oversaw that one. I'm real excited about women taking the lead. I think maybe it was helpful in putting out another face. Hearing this message from women, I'll tell you, is very important because we are perceived as people who are concerned about our families and our communities and want the best for everybody and nurturing and the whole compassionate thing. But I'll tell you, these women are so competent. It was really an honor and a privilege working with them, and I'm very excited about more women getting on board with this effort.
It is an energizing group, Mickey. All of these coordinators are so articulate and passionate about the issue. Also, the initiatives there in California all passed with over 60% of the vote. Was that level of support a surprise or expected?
It did surprise me with the level of support, although I have a new respect for polling. I must say that our polls showed that they were going to come out with very favorable votes. I was very nervous about Santa Monica because it was a real challenge to get our endorsements there, and it was and because of the opposition by the Police Officers Association that seemed to influence some of the elected officials. But our polling was positive in all three areas. So I was most surprised by the Santa Monica vote. But Santa Barbara is considered to be a little bit more conservative than the other areas, and they came up almost 65% too. So that was really a pleasant surprise, although the people who lived there weren't as surprised as those of us who are from the outside of that area. they seem to know their community well enough, and they said, we want to do it here because we think it could pass, and that passed with almost just about 65% also. Santa Cruz, we were pretty confident that it would pass with a lot of support. We got tremendous support in Santa Cruz. Politicians were not afraid of coming out in support. We got, you know, a couple city council members, a couple county supervisors, former mayors. It was just a really tremendous effort. In all areas, what really helped us, I think, was getting the support of the local Democratic Party clubs, and also the California Nurses Association was real helpful. In addition, we're very thankful to the support that LEAP gave us, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. They helped us offset some of the opposition by the police. In all areas, the police are not happy with this. They don't want to be told what to do. But Norm Stamper, the former police chief of Seattle, lent his support on ballot arguments and on our mailers with just a wonderful quote that basically said this worked in Seattle, and if you talk to police privately, they'll tell you that this is a waste of our resources. So, you know, we're excited that the whole effort really shows that this is a mainstream issue in these areas, that we're capable of generating a lot of broad support, and we made a tremendous outreach to organizations and individuals that are normally not a part of the drug reform movement. So I'm just so pleased with our endorsement effort, our get out the vote. The whole thing worked, everybody stayed on message, and so. You know, we're just so excited.
And finally today, Mickey, I have to ask this question. You have a local congresswoman about to be Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who co-sponsored medical marijuana legislation in the past and represents San Francisco. What are your thoughts on future House Speaker Pelosi?
I'm very excited about Pelosi being Speaker. She is a good representative for this area, even though she's considered a little bit more moderate, believe it or not, for this area. But she has sponsored or co-sponsored just about all of the reform efforts that were put forth, the reform measures, the Hinchey-Rohrabacher Amendment, Barney Frank's bill, the different measures. And so, I feel like she will continue to be an ally and is somebody who can work with us. In fact, in San Francisco, we'll see. Maybe she'll even be more of an ally. We are currently working also with the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco on an ordinance along similar lines as the Santa Cruz Measure K, and that's going to be heard next week before the committee and hopefully the full Board of Supervisors. So we hope before the end of the year to add San Francisco to our list, along with West Hollywood, which passed a measure in June, making it the official city of city policy that they are not to target people for marijuana in that city. So it seems to be a growing movement. On Election Day, we proved up and down in Northern California and in Southern California that this is a popular way to go, that the people support it, that it, you know, in California, we're also dealing with a severe overcrowding problem in the prisons, and they're talking about spending billions of dollars building new prisons or starting to export our prisoners to other states because there's so many. And we're hoping that this will become part of that discussion that, look, at least we can stop putting people in prison for marijuana offenses and hopefully ease the prison overcrowding in that way, too. So this election day gave us the opportunity to approach our state legislature and showing them that these measures have support. Hopefully the people who represent those local areas that passed it will come on board and be advocates for us, too, as well as all of these initiatives include a component that they're to communicate their new policy to their state and federal representatives, that we want them also to continue working for efforts that support our local policies. And in Santa Cruz, it goes that one step further, saying that we want them to work to tax and regulate the sales of cannabis to adults as soon as possible as well. So we got that message out there a bit too, and we're hoping to reinforce that through further efforts in the state and federal levels.
Mickey Norris, I want to thank you so much for joining us here this evening, and a big congratulations out there in California.
Thank you so much. We hope that, you know, and I'd like to also congratulate Missoula, Montana, and Eureka Springs, Arkansas, for also getting on board with these lowest law enforcement priorities. They passed as well, and, you know, we're just hoping that, the movement will be generated to get involved to help implement these measures and to continue working for more reform until we're all free and get people out of prison and stop that influx into them.
Mickey Norris joined us by phone from California. Mickey's been an activist for drug policy reform since 1989, when she formed the American Hemp Council along with her husband, Chris Conrad. As Community Action Coordinator for Californians for Medical Rights, she helped organize petitioners to qualify the Medical Marijuana Initiative Proposition 215 for the 1996 ballot. Mickey was instrumental in the recent passage of municipal ordinances in Santa Cruz, Santa Monica, and Santa Barbara. Mickey has co-authored the book Shattered Lives, Portraits from America's Drug War and Human Rights and the U.S. Drug War, and sponsors the website hr95.org. We have links to the books and the website at normalaudiostash.com.